people as well. And now it says Toich Lechavin says Lechavis and Mitzvah Tzvias Amrim. And therefore also we have to be Mechavin to be Mechayim the Mitzvah Tzvias Amolik. Kivin Yekoy Lehoi Tzvibu Yochav Chayv. So therefore also the one who the Baal Koy also have to be have in mind to be Moitzi the Oilom. And as I said yesterday, that is that some places have a minhag that the Gabe calls out that everybody has to remember to be Kayam the Mitzvah. Now he says Toich Ledas Pirush Amilus, that some people say that it's good to understand the translation of each word, because if you don't understand the mitzvah, so if you don't understand the words, maybe you can't be Kayam the Mitzvah properly. Sheikah mitzvah l'secha masa amole l'hashvah sinu olav b'choleis. The main mitzvah is to encourage and to have hate towards Amalek at every time, at all times. The people who listen do not have to say the words together with Baal Koyer. And it's enough to listen to the words of the one who learns from Sefer Torah. And like we learn, Shemer Koyer, Mikol Mokom, he says, Toiv Loim Ima Koyer. As Kolakriya, some people say that it's good to say the words together with Baal Koyer, Kilehave, Poiskim, Mitzvah, Secha, Pehev, Dafka. A lot of Poiskim say that you have to be, in order to be kind of the Mitzvah, you have to say the words Dafka, Bepi. And there is various opinions about whether you have to actually say it, because normally we say Shemir Koyinu, so why should you? Why would we say that the Olam should also say it together with the Baal Koyer? On the contrary, it could be that if the Baal Koyer knows that everybody is saying the words together with him, it could be that his kavona is less of a kavona because he knows that everybody is saying it with Kayam the Mitzvah. But really, it's upon him to say the words in order that people should be Mekayam the Mitzvah. And also, it brings down that according to some Achoinim, that you have to take a proper, say the best sefer Torah. Torah liko parshu be sefer Torah hayoyse kosher sheyesh be bezer knesses. That to take the best sefer Torah who got in the bezer knesses. Rufisa yesh maale shul liko parshu socha be piv mitzvah chumish. Therefore, some they say maybe it's even better not to say the words in the chumish. It seems to be rather to listen from the Baal Koyer and be oited through that on the Shemir Koyinim. Turn the page. A young boy near bar mitzvah shlo yoda im yesh lo simon gedolus. If a bar mitzvah boy, we don't know if he's got the simon gedolus. Ein lo elias bal koyer parshasoch. He should not learn the parshasoch. He be dovish chiv mina toyer, because this is midrasa. Ein soyim chiv ela chasok v'shev simonim. You can't be soyim on the chasok that he's got simonim. Stay saros. Ein koyer filo ifnei b'chuim beli gilu shelo yoda imniya b'hem simon gedolus. Pan?
Bnei gilu.
What is it? Bnei gilu. Sorry. And you should not say ein koyer. He should not lean even in front of other bochim. If you don't know if they got Simone Gedolus. Hasfadim Neugel Hakus Beraglaim Bishas, as cause him a Molek, Shema Molek. Some Desfadim have got a minute to bank with their feet when they say the name of a Molek. The Chain Yesh Lehasi im Katanim Shelo Yachiv Acho, Neshla Yishma Tzipa Kolakirkoi. But we should remind the youngsters, the children, that they should not make too much noise, like on Purim. Because the other people won't hear they won't hear all the words. Elohim can yafsik Baal Koyer b'shar koyim. And therefore the Baal Koyer should slow down and give everybody a chance to bang with their feet in order that there can be enough noise, and then we can carry on afterwards to carry on the last few words of the kriya. We'll carry on tomorrow, Mitzvah.
Tuesday, Rosh Chodesh Adar, Rabbi Yeshua Bitton, topical theme. This week's Torahway sponsored by family David Levy, Le'ili Nishmas, Maras Miriam, Bastra Pinchas Levy. As usual, this share is Le'ili Nishmas, our founder, Rabbi Yosef Dov, Ben Shimon Mchogsvi, it's Givich Zichron Dibrofen.
It's leaving.
morning, good chodesh. It's a very, very exciting time. Mishenich nasador marbin besimcha. And I thought we can analyze this marbin besimcha, why it's specific to Adar, how it fits with Amalek, with Pasha Zocha, and how it fits with Purim in general, and how it stands out from every other month in the year and every other Hatzolah that Am Yisrael had. Because if we think about it, we take it for granted from when we're Bochrim in Yeshiva, maybe even already from school, from the posters from school. Mishenichmas Adar Marvin Basimcha, it's exciting, it's fun, we're happy, we're joyous. Why? Is it because there were miracles in Adar? There were miracles in Nisan as well. There were miracles Chanukah. Was it because of the Hatzalah of a war? Technically, there was a Hatzalah from Pari by Nisan as well. Is it because it's a Yom Tov? We have Sukkos, which is a Yom Tov. In fact, on Sukkos, there's V'samachta Bechagecha. Yet we don't see the whole of Tishri, Mishenichmas Tishri, Marben Besimcha. You can tell me Yom Tov costs a lot more than Purim. It depends. Some people, Purim costs a lot more. So why is it? Why is it that Simcha is specific to Adar? In addition, we take it for granted. We saw now the halachas we just read out. Timcha Ezech HaMalek, it could be a deraisa. You have to be very careful. And Shabbos Zocha, who reads it, how they read it. Svadim have their views. The Ashkenazim have their views. We heard the Svadim, even they stamp, like by Haman, they stamp. The mamash want to be Moicha HaMalek, physically and mentally. Why Amalek more than all other enemies? Why Amalek more than Mitzrim? Why Amalek more than Moav? Amoim? Why Amalek more than any one of our enemies? And unfortunately, as we know, b'chol do v'do, we can pick whichever time frame, whichever geographical location, and we can find an enemy that technically we can be Moicha. And we know that, by the way, it is against our approach, generally, as Yidden, to be Moicha anyone. Mitzrayim is very clearly, you know, don't be too harsh on Mitzrayim, because you were Gerim in their land. Ultimately, you lived in their land. Even the Moavim, Ammon and Moav, who we are told we shouldn't marry into them, it's only 3 doros, and then afterwards, you can. So what's so special about this Amalek? What's so special about this Adar? And what's so special about this Simcha? So when we look at Simcha, Yishrei Lev Simcha, Simcha comes about in general, when you have a Yishrei Lev, and we're told, how do you get to a Yishrei Lev? How is someone, and this is studies that are done both in the secular world, but you don't have to be a Gros HaChochem to come up with this conclusion. That if someone focuses on Tov, if he spends his time listening to Tov, learning Tov, looking through tinted glasses that are Tov, then he's going to feel Tov and he's going to feel happy. Happiness comes from a place where you see everything as good. Positive. When you see positive, exactly, when you're in a positive mindset, then you're going to have a positive heart, it's going to be straightforward, and you're going to be besimcha. The reverse is also true, and the studies have proven this. And this is extreme for today, where we're consuming information at a rate that's never been before. And information that is pleasant sells less or attracts less than information that is negative. And constantly getting posts, is there going to be a next war or a next bomb or a next this or a next that, and everything, it goes into your head, even if it goes into your head as a proliferator in the side, just echoing in the background, ultimately it's ra. Ultimately there's a negativity there, and ultimately you're going to feel ra. And negativity is going to breed negativity, and for that reason alone, you should be in the Beis Medrash, you know, learning the Tov Litoras Picha, the greatest good of all, because that will just possibly give you positivity, which is probably why Bochrim are much more Mishenichmas Adar, Marben Besimcha, than the man who's outside in the workplace dealing with all the Ravs of the world and trying to make them Yashar, because he's surrounded by Tov, and therefore there's a Simcha. But Tov is ultimately an approach that Esau is not really good at. We're told, when we look at the story of Esau, he comes to Amalek, he comes to the Yidden right after we leave Mitzrayim. And the Medrash Tanchuma tells us that, use interesting language, because we never see Esav like this. We think of Esav Yetzahara, Esav the negative, Esav Tuma, jumps into the hot bath. He says, Yavai Kofu Tova, Amalek, comes as a Kofu Tova, the Chaper, to come and attack the Kfuyi Tova. Right? What's a kofu toivo? Kofu comes from kfira. There's that angle to look at the word. But kofu also comes from kippa, to cover. So Esav comes along, he's a kofu toivo. Remember, it's this term that's not usually associated with Esav, but this is what the Medrash says when it talks about Vayavai Amalek. Amalek comes along. He comes as a kofu toivo to attack the kfuye toivo. Now, what is going on over here? So if we look at the parasha of the first time it pops up, Amalek is Beshalach. Vayavai Amalek Yilachem in Yisrael Berefidim. What's going on before? Says the pasuk, Bnei Yisrael have gone out of Mitzrayim. It's been fireworks. It's been exciting. Yisro kol adas Bnei Yisrael mimidbar sin lemasehem. Al pi Hashem v'yachnu b'fidim ve'ein ma'im nishtei sa'om v'yorei la'om al Moshe v'yomru tnu lo l'mayim v'nishtei v'yom lehem Moshe matu rim alayim. They've just seen the most amazing miracles. They've just seen Toiv on a level that is poshut. You cannot ignore this Toiv. Because the sea split. 10 markers. This is Toiv that you cannot deny. Even the biggest conspirators on the biggest podcast will not be able to twist this toiv. It's by its nature, it's good. We got to the Yam Suf, and it split, and we got through, and we got to the other side, and there was Sholol Rav, and there's Hashem Yimlech Lo'olam Voed, Ezek Keli Vanveu. Amazing toiv. And then what do we have? A bit thirsty. And we start complaining. And what do we start complaining? At Kdekach. Hayesh Hashem bekirbeinu im ayin. Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu even with us or not? Rashi brings down the Medrash that it's as if, we can all relate to this in some way because you'll get it from time to time. You've given your child everything. You put your child on your shoulders and you're walking through Disneyland or whatever it is, Thorpe Park, and he's asking you, can he have this? And it's a fun day, it's his birthday. Yeah, you can have this, you can have this, you can have this, you can have this, you can have this. At some point, in the day, your child meets another stranger in the queue, and he's telling me, have you seen my father anywhere? Have you seen my dad anywhere? What do you mean, have you seen? The father gets so upset, takes the child off his shoulder, puts him on the floor, dog comes along, and bites him. Because you've reached a level where everything was being given to you, and you didn't realize that it was coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Bnei Yisrael reached there, and they're kfuye toivo. Comes along Esav is a kofu toiv. Where do we see that Esav is a kofu toiv? So this is very interesting. The Medrash tells us when Amalek, Esav, comes to meet Yaakov. So we know that there's dots on top of the Einashke when he kissed him. And there is a few pshatim to what go on. Was it taka, a proper kiss? Or was it a bite that he tried to bite him and kill him? Let's follow with the biting and killing. So I don't understand what happened. Esav comes along. It's a bit of a love-on situation where he wanted the money. Esav wanted death. He comes to hug Yaakov. He wants to bite him. He wants to kill him. But bottom line is, Yaakov gets away. How does Yaakov get away? If Esav's on a warpath, how does he manage to wiggle out of this situation? How does he manage to escape? More than that, from when Esav has this encounter, we don't hear about him until now, until Vayavai Amalek. Why is he suddenly waking up now? And what happened in all that time in between? So Yaakov, we're told, whilst he was being hugged slash kissed by Esav, he had a little conversation going on. He's thinking on his feet. And he told Yaakov, Yaakov told Esav in his ear when he's being hugged, strangled, he says to him, I don't understand what you're doing. You're going to kill me. You're going to kill my children. But you know that there's a nevuah. You know that there's a prophecy. We know that there's a nevuah and a prophecy that Zaracha, Avraham Avinu was told, your descendants are going to be slaves in Mitzrayim. 400 years, 210 years. So Yaakov's whispering into Esav's ear. Esav is very impulsive person. Esav doesn't think too much in advance. Normally, you know, why do I need the Bechorah? Hinei Anochi Holech Lamus. Just give me the pot of soup. What's going to happen in generations to come has zero relevance to me. So Yaakov plays on that. He already used it to buy the Bechorah. He tells Esav in his ear, Shoita, you kill me and my kids. Who's going to go to Mitzrayim and work? Who's going to fulfill that nevuah? Who's going to fulfill that promise? It's going to be you. You're the next in line. You're going to want to work for 210 years? I tell you what, I'll go down for you. You leave me alone. Deal. I'll go and do the work. It's a partnership of reverse of Sachasvulim. I'll go down to work, you go live your life, and everyone is happy. Kachava. Once we paid off our debt, once we did our 210 years, and Esav knew that we held nothing on him anymore, Vayavar Amalek. It doesn't get a bigger kofel tova than that. I've literally just been enslaved for generations because of you. And instead of realizing that you owe me one, you come and you attack me. And really, it's one big part of Esau's persona, because to not be Maki Toiv, to be Kofu Toiv, which is even a stronger level of not being Maki Toiv, Amon and Moav, they didn't come. We can't marry them for 3 years. We don't have to wipe them out. Why not? Because it's not that they were Kofu Toiv. It's just we were coming through. They didn't come and bring us water. They weren't Makir Toiv. It wasn't the negative. They just didn't do the positive. They should have been Makir Toiv that Avraham Avinu went and saved Lot. But they didn't. And when we came through, they should have brought us water. They didn't. So they weren't Makir Toiv. But it wasn't the Kofu Toiv of Amalek. Amalek, he was not only did he not come and help us, he came to attack us. But more than that, Amalek saw the Nissim. He saw, he didn't have to look for the Toiv. The Toiv was in his face, right? It was Chodesh Nisan, which is his man of Gola. It was the time of Pesach, where the miracles were 10 makas, which were open and clear to everyone. Amalek comes along, and he sees this absolute clarity, the clarity of Zer Keli Vanveil Roshif Chalayom that we haven't seen before. And he comes and says, you know, let's cover it. Let's take this absolute Toiv, undisputable Toiv, and start covering it. Let's dilute it. And how does he do it? Asher Baderech, says Rashi, Pasha Kisetse, Mikra. It's a fluke. It happened. It just happens to be that the beepers were there, and that these people were here, and this stand did this. And it was all one big pur, one big lottery. And Bob's your uncle. And then there was a big wind, and there was a big learn, and there was Maim Lem Choma, and then they got out to the other side, and the stream was unlucky. And that's how he's coupled this Toiv. It's a conspiracy beyond all conspiracies, because how could it ever be true? But that was Amalek. And it comes again from Amalek, it comes again from Esav, where Yaakov says, Yeshli Kol. Esav says, Yeshli Rav. Why Yeshli Rav? Because yes, I've got a lot, but his eye is still on the things that I don't have. Right? He sees the Ra, he sees the negative, and therefore he can't be Makir Toiv, he's going to be Kofu Toiv. So why wipe him out? Because ultimately, we're told that if someone starts off being Kofu Toiv to his friend, he's going to end up being Kofu Toiv to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's going to be Kofu in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How is this? We see this from Yosef. V'yakom melech chalosh ha-Mitzrayim asher lo yada es Yosef. Says the Medrash, two options. Either he taka didn't know Yosef, or it was a new king, or he died. But the Medrash analyzes, I don't understand. But what do you mean he doesn't know Yosef? Yosef was the Churchill of his time. He was Alexander the Great. He was Caesar. He had literally saved the whole of Egypt. You don't forget him because he's a new king. So asher lo yada es Yosef is, he was posh, he was a kafa toba. He ignored him. He wasn't makir him. He didn't acknowledge him. But you can take it on another level. What was Yosef? Yosef was, everything that comes to me, he says by Potiphar, is all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was his, right? All my hatzlach is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He didn't understand, he didn't cut that Yosef was ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when you're not makir me, lo yodas Yosef, in the end, says the Medrash, what happened? He says, es Hashem lo yodati. Right? I didn't know you. Why? Because you start off by not being makir, a boss or vadon. Then ultimately, you cannot be makir HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the reasoning is simple. Because if you can't see goodness with something that is physically in front of you, then how are you going to see the goodness when it's coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is not physically in front of you? But more than that, because any goodness that comes to you through a person is ultimately seeing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you this goodness, which Yosef points out himself, everything that I have comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By denying that person, you're denying HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is similar to what we say about Kavodes Avicha Vesimecha on the Aseres Adibros, right? Why is it on the side of Hashem, ben Adam Namakim? Is because if you can't be mechabed your parents who give you everything in this world, then how ever are you going to be mechabed the person who gives your parents life and gives life to all beings on this world? And therefore, The Medrash says that if you're kofa b'kodesh, if you're kofa b'tov of your friends, you're going to end up being kofa b'shem, and a kofa obviously doesn't have a place in this world. Ain't a nivahu. You're posh, someone who can't see goodness. You're a bal gaiva. You can't see goodness when it hits you in the face, even when it's a miracle. And you're not only that, you don't see it. You cover it up. There's no space for you at all b'chlal in this world. Ammon and Moab didn't go so far. In fact, when we see with Boaz and Rus, when they were Moabi below Moabis, how did he determine that you can marry a Moabis? How did he determine that the bar of marrying a Moabite, it doesn't apply to a woman? It's because he saw that ultimately Rus had Hakaras HaTov. She went out for her mother-in-law, which we know is never an easy thing, and went and did Lifnim Meshuras Adin, brought home food, brought home extra. So yes, her ancestors didn't bring in the drink of water, but ultimately she showed with clear actions that she wasn't that. She was someone who's royal to come to the Yehudi, to the Yehuda, who was Moida. But it's interesting that if we look at the Medrash, who does it bring? It brings Yosef. Yosef is the one, Asher lo yodes Yosef, that makes this point of Hakaras HaTov. And there are levels in Hakaras HaTov. There are levels in Hakaras HaTov. Look at the parasha. I think it's in Vayishlach. At the end of Vayishlach, we go through Esav and all his chiefs and all his 12 tribes who are going to come out of him. And it gets very there's a nice chart in the back here with the art scroll. And then we start the next parsha. Yeshiv Yaakov Eretz Megurei Aviv Eretz Kanan. Ele told us Yaakov Yosef. We see, and we're told from here, that the nemesis, the antidote of Esav is Yosef. Famously, we're told about this moshul of the stack of flax that goes through the market, and the blacksmith is getting very nervous because there's Yeshli Rav, there's this big load of flax going to try and squeeze its way through a narrow alleyway, and the person is told, don't you worry, because one little spark of Yosef, even though he doesn't have all of that, but he focuses on the one tov that he does have, will completely obliterate Esav. Yosef is the anti of Esav. And really, it's not so much that Yosef is the anti of Esav, it is Hakaras HaTov, which is the anti of Amalek. And we see this if we look at Parshas B'Shalach, just before Yisroi. That's where we have Amalek, who's Kofu Tova, who comes to attack Am Yisrael, and straight after, by Yishma Yisroi. Yisroi heard. What did Yisroi do? Yisroi heard Mochemes Amalek. He heard all these openness in, and he said, Baruch Hashem, Asher Hitzil Eschem, Miyad Paro Yom Miyad Mitzrayim, Vayichad Yisroi. Rashi says Somach Belibo, because as we pointed out, when you have a Hakaras HaTov, then immediately you get Simcha because all you're seeing is Tov. And Somach Belibo Al Kol HaTov Asher Osa Elokim, on all the goodness that Hashem did. How did we attack back on Amalek on our Kfir Tova? Is Vayishma Yisroi, he came along and he said Baruch Hashem, and actually the whole of Bnei Yisrael, when he said Baruch Hashem, said Amen. This was what the Baruch that Yisroi made, was Birchas HaGoyim, that he saw the miracles that took place and he made the Baruch, and that Hakaras HaTov, which Rashi says was Simcha Yichad, he brought to Simcha, was the antidote of Amalek. And we see it again in Parshas Kisetze, where again we start off Kitzes Lemachamon, we go through all the way till Amalek. What happens straight after? We look in the parasha, Shmak, Bikurim. Bikurim. What's Bikurim? Samach al Kol HaTov, Simcha on all the goodness. Now Bikurim is even better, Hakaras HaTov, because you're taking from fruits that are not yet ripe. It's all about projection. You're looking, you see, oh, I've got one. Might not be a lot. Yaakov says, Yeshli Kol, I have everything. Esav's got Yeshli Rav. It's irrelevant. I've got something, I'm going to go out my way now, and I'm going to go take it to Eretz Yisrael. But the Bikurim is a far different kind of Hakaras HaTov than the Hakaras HaTov of Yisroi and the Hakaras HaTov of Nissan. In Nissan, the Tov is undisputable, in-your-face kind of Tov. We've got Amalek, who's minus that. He doesn't even see. He covers up Tov that is undisputable. Bikurim is nature. Bikurim is, you look out your tree, and you see this fruit on the tree. Now, a Yehudi, someone who's Moida, someone who acknowledges good, a general Yid, looks at the tree and says, wow, Baruch Hashem. Kol HaToiv, he takes it, he goes up to Yerushalayim, and he's maki that toiv, and he sees that goodness, and that is a yid. But there is an even higher level of that. And that, by the way, is the simcha of Sukkos. Simcha on Sukkos is v'samachta b'chagecha, not nishtag on Sechodesh, but yontov, where we bring the bikurim, v'samachta, you've just taken in all your, you've done your accounts, it's had a good yield, or even if you've had some yield, Baruch Hashem, that's simcha. Then you have Yosef. Yosef, Rachel, is the only one who can destroy Amalek. We see this with Yeshua. Why does Moshe send out Yeshua? Because Yeshua is Mizera Rachel, Mizera Yosef. We see this with Shaul, who's told to wipe out Amalek. Again, he's not David, he's not Yehuda. Zera Rachel, Zera Yosef. We see this with Mordechai HaTzadik. He was the one to come and conquer Haman. Zera, why? Because Yosef has this beautiful ability to Binyamin. Yosef has this beautiful ability to take from his mother Rachel to see something that is ra and turn it into good. To see something that is negative and turn it into good. Rachel, how does she give the secrets to Leah? Because it's not a problem for her. Because if everything is letoiva, so this is also letoiva. Kol man da'avid rachman la'tav avid. Yosef at tzadik. He gets sold. We're told that when he gets sold, Hashem winks at him. What does he do? Instead of the travelers, the salesmen who usually take petrol and crude oil and tar, they were taking basamim. Shkoyach. About to be sold. Shkoyach. It doesn't smell so bad. This is what kind of consolation prize is that? The answer is poshut. All Yosef needed was haboy reik en boy mayim. I just need one good thing to focus on. The fact that there's Nechoshim and Akrovim in there, it's irrelevant. I'm going to focus on the Toiv. There's no mine. I'm alive. It smells nice. I'll focus on that and everything else will go out. And we see this with absolute clarity when final crescendo, when Yosef comes along and his brothers, he reveals himself to his brothers and he tells them straight up. He goes, you were Mechashiv Lera. You thought negative of me. Don't worry, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chishvei L'Toiv. He was Kofa, the Ra. That is a whole new level of Hakaras HaToiv. It's not that he saw good and he was Makeh the good. He saw Ra, and Rachel already saw this, and he was Makeh the Toiv in the Ra. That is a level that can come and counter Amalek, because Amalek sees Toiv and somehow manages to cover it with Ra. Yosef sees Ra and manages to cover it with Toiv, and he gets this already from Rachel, and therefore it is only them that can counter Amalek himself. Which brings us to the month and the Simcha. So yes, Nisan there's miracles. There are open miracles. There is a certain level of Hakara Satoiv, but ultimately the Simcha is not as great because the Hakara is not that great. Then we have Sukkos when we see the nature and we look within the nature to see the Toiv. And we see it, and that, therefore there's a simcha on Sukkos. But then we come to Adar. Adar is already a whole new level. Mazal Adar Dogim, fish. Fish is plentiful, one of the most plentiful things out there. But you look at the sea, and you see nothing. There's no Kriyas Yamsuv, there's no open miracles. It's all under, it's all hidden, it's all covered. V'noichi Haste Aster, Megillas Esther, the whole thing is one big mikre. And it wouldn't be a conspiracy theory to say that. You don't need a Amalek to come along and tell us that it was a mikra. It seems like a mikra. It seems like a happenstance. It's one negative story after another negative story. There's a party, goes wrong. Then Esther gets taken. She's kidnapped. It's a terrible thing. And then there's trees being planted. It's even being built for gallows. A terrible thing. Then there is a plot against the king, another terrible thing, because we know that when the king goes, when there's a problem in the Malchus, who's going to get the blame? We're going to get the blame. So it's one terrible story after another terrible story after another terrible story. That is Ra. That is hidden. That is Dogim under the sea. And comes Binyamin, comes Yosef, to try and take from that Ra and make it Toiv. Homam HaRosha, he was Kol Zeh Eino Shavali. He wasn't Maki Tov in any sort of way. The guy was the second highest. He had everything. He should have been Maki Tov to Mordechai, who saved him many years before. There was a shtar on his shoe. He sits there. Chol zeh einu shaveli. Yeshli Rav. He has 99.99% of what he tried to acquire in life. He gave it all up because he saw that one Ra. He saw that one Ra. How did his Hapala start? Achashverosh was Makid Tov to Mordechai. He couldn't sleep. He was Makid Tov to Mordechai, that Mordechai saved his life. And we start seeing that every negative thing that took place in the Megillus Esther was actually Tov. It was this classic HaKadosh, you were Machshevei L'ra, Haman was Choshev L'ra. Turns out HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Achshevei L'Tov. Esther was kidnapped. How do you know that you weren't put here for this moment? And it turned out to the Revach V'Hatzolah La'Yehudim. By the way, we're told that, how do you know you have to say Dover B'Shem Omroi, which is Hakara Satov, right? Maybe Gula La'olam. Because Esther went to Achashverosh B'Shem Mordechai. It's this poshut, simple, Hakara Satov in the simplest form. And Esther goes and she continues and she it comes to the gallows. Harvona points out, look, there's a tree outside that went from Ra to Tov. And by the way, this is why we make such a big point to say Begam Harvona Zochel Tov. He's a Rosha. Because he did one good thing, but that's the essence of what is going on here. The essence of what going on here is to be Makke Tov. So we come and say Harvona Zochel Tov. And Kimu V'Kiblu at the end is the biggest tell. Because yes, at Har Sinai there was this Tov that was external, that was big, that was bright, that was one that brought Yisroel all the way. But what happened on Purim was Ahava, where we saw the Ra and turned it into good. That is a Simcha that is unparalleled. And therefore we took it again. I just want to add one more small thing. It's a thought that I had last night whilst I was preparing. We look at Yaakov and his bracha to Ephraim and Manasseh. It's Be'yigdu la'ov b'kerev ha'aretz. You should be like fish, bekarav haaretz. You should be, well, it's a bit of a contradiction. Fish are in the sea. What's this bracha of fish on land? But that's what Ephraim and Manasseh do. Ephraim and Manasseh, who are Rachel Imenu, Yosef Atzadik, Binyamin, Yeshua Benun, they take what is under, they take the fish on the aretz, and they bring it up. And that is why Nisan is Geula, Gilui, but Adar, which is the biggest Hakara of Tov, when you see Ryan turning to Tov, that if you approach life like that, then it's not even a requirement, it's Poshut. Mishenichnas Adar, you'll be Marbe B'Simcha, because you look at everything negative and you'll see actually it is good.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm Father Shimon Levy and Father of Penny.
Shabbos, I know that there's Bishop Akka.